It's my party, my very own party. Welcome to the day. It's the party of Jesus. We get the party day after day after day, right? So I want to welcome
party of unity.
Yeah, I want to welcome those in the house. Welcome those online and Zoom. Welcome those who will be watching later on a YouTube delay or a podcast, listen on a podcast delay. You all are exciting to God and to me. I'm happy you're here. I'm going to be looking this way because that's where everybody's sitting in the house, is on this side of the room today. This side is empty, so there's no sense addressing that side. As I was saying earlier, and I'll repeat here, we are on a journey. And as a faith community, a grace community, it's important that we take stock of what we believe. And so I want to take some time over the next few weeks or months, however long it takes, to put down some thoughts that we all share, or maybe we don't share. That's okay too. But it's our journey. And so this is going to be a compilation of our journey that becomes an outline later on that has comments from us. It has books that we can reference for people who might need who might want to brush up on some stuff. We have not just books, but I might link us to some audios or videos from time to time, because I want to build this document that you can go, oh, somebody has a question about it, and you can thumb through and go, here's some things to look at. So that's what we're going to start doing. And I want to start out with, so there is a Eastern Orthodox person named Bishop, I'm going to spell his first name right, Callistos, last name Ware, and he's an Eastern Orthodox bishop, and he's still alive, and he wrote a book called The Orthodox Way. You're going to hear a lot of pauses and squeaks and things from the board as we do this. And Bishop Ware wrote in his book that to be a Christian is to be a traveler on a journey through the inward space of the heart. Moving through this journey requires an awareness of being in the now. And that is being in the present and recognizing God in the process of our journey. We are in the now. We live in the now. I don't live in the yesterday. I don't live in the tomorrow. I live in the now. And our journey is encountering God in the now. It's not about encountering God in the future. It's not crying out, God, where were you in my past? It's right here, right now, realizing God is. So in the Orthodox way, in the now, God is. What do you think about that? Comment on it.
That's how I see it.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
That it's alive. It's a growing thing. It's not static.
Okay.
Until we get to perfection.
Yeah, yeah. See, because the journey is a journey to wholeness, is it not?
Yeah.
I and you are on a journey to wholeness. And what I think about that today is totally different than what I thought about that years ago. To me, I never thought about wholeness. To me, it was, can I get in the kingdom by the skin of my teeth? Did I dot all the I's? Did I cross all the T's? Did I miss one? If I missed one, am I going to get zapped dead? Am I going to get punished? You notice one of those songs was, he doesn't punish us. He doesn't elevate us if I do good, or drop us down a few notches if I do bad. In the now, I am in the now. I am in relationship, and it is good. Bishop shaking his head. Just for the record, the ceremonial bishop, not actual.
Well, what makes me think is that, especially with those songs you played, that thought goes through, and it used to be, have I done enough? And those songs all said, doesn't matter if I'm having a good day, doesn't matter if I'm having a bad day, doesn't matter what I've done, doesn't matter who I am or what I know. Nevertheless, you love me.
Yeah. Yeah. Nevertheless, you love me. And so on this journey, every journey has a starting point, right? The trip of 1,000 miles starts with what?
One step.
One step. But think about it. The journey starts with one step. What's the first step on our journey with God? What's the first step?
Metanoia.
Metanoia. Ooh. Throw that Greek around on your birthday, girl. What's metanoia?
Changing your mind.
Well, how do I know I need to change my mind?
Because you're looking at a brick wall and you have nowhere else to go.
Because you're looking at a brick wall, you got nowhere else to go. That's one way. Does this journey not start with there's something greater than myself?
Yeah.
And it's a journey to discover, right? We're on a journey to discover. In a journey to discover, do you have the right to take the wrong turn?
You have the right to take the wrong turn?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you have the right and you do it all the time.
Greg says you have the right, you do it all the time. This doesn't work today, guys, if we all aren't contributing voice-wise. So if I start my journey and it starts with a step, I'm actually stepping towards something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I may not know what that something is yet, but I know it's something greater than me that in this case I'm drawn to. But I can take a long step. I can take a turn over here. And I will come to realize that it's not what's best for me. So I come back over here and I move another step. So everything I might do in error is also part of the lesson of my journey.
Yes.
Yeah, you're exploring.
Yes. And you know, there's no condemnation in Christ for exploring. Now, there'll be some who will tell you there is. There will be some who will tell you, you must live this way alone. And if you deviate from that, you're condemned. But that's not what God says. God wants you to explore. He wants you to explore. So let's do this. The first.
Can I explain something?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. When I started my journey, which is way, 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 way back, not knowing I was actually on a journey, but God gave me a verse and it stuck with me. So I never had any doubt of where I would end up. However,
what verse is it?
Give me that verse. I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have. I forget how it goes, that he'll keep what was started.
That meant
the world to me over all the exploring.
All right, let's find that verse. That's significant. So let's take a moment and find it.
It's either Philippians or Ephesians. Ephesians, I think.
So what? How it starts out?
Convinced? Well, there's a song that goes, "I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able."
All right.
"To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Yeah. And that has stuck with me forever. And I've never, ever doubted that I was going to lose any kind of salvation or anything like that, no matter where I went, no matter where I ended up. And he always set my path straight.
So let's see. You think it's Ephesians or Philippians?
Yeah, pretty sure Ephesians. Look up. Here, I'll help you.
Yeah, you got to have to. Maybe it's Ephesians 1:6. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Is that the one?
Yeah, but just a different version of it. Yeah.
Try 2 Timothy 1:12.
Carol says 2 Timothy 1:12. Let's check that out. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day that has been entrusted. All right. So 2 Timothy.
Oh, it's way off.
1:12. Somebody find it in another version.
I like in the New Testament. Muriel, you're close.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 1:12, did you say?
Yeah. Anybody got it in a different translation? Because it's important, I think, to know these things. Because this
that was a very powerful verse.
It's a very powerful verse. When I'm first starting on my journey, knowing that he is able, and in a sense, he's not going to let me drop off the face of the earth and get lost.
So in the English Standard Version, it says, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me.
It's good. Here's from the Passion Translation. The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. From intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep all that I've placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing.
Oh, I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Greg?
In Jung's, and it, I want to go back to verse 11, and it's, and he's telling Timothy how he can stay with everything that's going on with him. He tells Timothy this, to which I was placed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of nations, for which also these things I suffer. But I am not ashamed, for I have known in whom I have believed, and have been persuaded that he is able, that which I have committed to him to guard to that day.
Cool. So let's start our journey like this. God, I am committed. I'm committing myself to you, to the fullness of revelation, to the fullness life from now until the end of my days.
That's because you have the confidence.
Because we have the confidence. I have confidence in you, God, that you're not going to let me go. You're not going to let me fail. We start that journey. That takes us then to we need to understand who God is, right? A part of our journey is, who is God? How do I get to that confidence? I get to know this being called God. Right. Who's God?
To me or to what?
Who's God?
He is the creator of all things.
Okay. Creator of all things. Daryl, you want to jump in? You can pass if you don't.
I say he's first and foremost God.
Hang on, Daryl. Working with Daryl.
He's our Father.
Our Father. Okay.
Shepherd that tendeth after his sheep.
All right. I'm going to come to the Zoomers in a minute. Marilyn.
He loves us all.
He loves us all. Okay. Carol.
I go back to God is love.
God is love. Says that in 1 John 4, 16, I think.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we're going to do this week is go back and put verses with some of these other things. All right, going online, starting with Linda. Who is God?
Linda. The lover of our souls, our lover of our spirits, creator of our spirits.
Creator, lover of our spirit and soul.
God, shepherd that tendeth to his sheep.
Muriel, who's God?
Well, a few people said already, but I'll add to that. I'll say he's the very breath that I breathe.
Ah, the breath I breathe. Stuart, you want to jump in?
The essence of love.
Ah, the essence of love. How do I know that? All of you who've talked about his love, how do I know that? How do I know his love?
Well, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
All right.
I couldn't resist.
Not to really press you. Where in the Bible does it tell you so?
Where does the Bible tell? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and who shall ever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
John 3:16. Anybody know what verse 17 says? I'm not doing all the work. Somebody look it up. John 3:17. Y'all thought you're going to have an easy pass day. No.
Okay. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
All right. So does love condemn?
No.
No.
Never.
And I truly say, while I'm starting out my journey, there's no condemnation because I believe in Christ. I believe in the God who is the God of all creation. As I start my journey, can I relax into understanding that while I'm on my journey, he's not going to condemn me? Yes. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. Quoting my friend Stuart.
Did anybody ever watch the show Get Smart?
Yes.
Okay, and there's always chaos and control.
Yes.
So if we don't have control and chaos took over, there would be nothing left.
Yeah.
So that tells you, in a sense, that God is in control and that his love holds things together. And that makes you believe that he is so.
Yeah.
And who else would do what he did to become man himself to save us? Like, that's unbelievable.
So it is. And so when we back up to God, I'm going to flip the board because, you know, this is like a multi-board. And I don't want to erase the other stuff yet. So when we're talking about God, who is God? That really is part of our opening round of our journey. Who is God? And where do we find then answers to that question? Stuart, where do I find answers to the question who God is or who is God?
You know, I think that it starts with a recognition that there is a God.
Okay.
And for me, it goes to the Bible to learn the characteristics, to learn about him. You know, we can sit there and say, oh, God is love. Okay, that's great. But we need a little further clarification, a little further definition.
Yes, exactly. And so one of the things I do is I look at the scriptures and what in particular? Who's the best representation of God out there?
Jesus.
So we look at the scriptures about Jesus, and then we can fill in some of the other scriptures as long as there's a Christocentric approach, right? A Christ-centered approach.
Yeah.
So, when we study Jesus, we learn a couple things. What do we learn about God as we study Jesus?
He's our provider.
We see some.
He's our provider. Yeah. Go ahead, Stuart.
We see somebody who is always looking out to reach out in love to bless people, to make their day, life, and world better.
So it brings it. Go ahead. Sorry.
You think about this, that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly, and that's what he did by example. And you can go from the first miracle where he turned water into wine, and they said, whoa, what's this? This is the best wine. Right on through to all the healing. And when you get to the cross and he says, okay, I'm going to do this, walk around guilt-free and have fellowship with me. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So our journey starts as we take our first few steps is recognizing there is a God. I don't have to know exactly who this God is when I first start my journey. But if I believe there's a God and I want to get to know this God more, I take a step and go, God, you, please reveal yourself to me. You're the communicator. It's your responsibility to show me who and what you are. So we're taking a step, God. I trust that you will show me. And as part of that, recognize there is a God. We recognize that God is manifested as what's called a Trinity, a Trinitarian perspective, right? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do I know this, that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? If you start studying John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, you will see that Jesus is talking about a Father and having a relationship with the Father. And interspersed in that is when I leave, the Holy Spirit comes. So now I've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what is their nature? We've been talking about it. Their nature. What is? Let's go to 1 John 4:18. Or 16, I'm sorry. Go to 16. 1 John 4:16. Shoot. Wow. Thank you, Lord. What's it say? Somebody read 1 John 4:16.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath in us. God is love. And he whom is remaining in love, in God he doth remain, and God in him.
Is that
Young's?
Somebody got it from the Passion or the Voice? See, we're going to be very slow and methodical in this, and I don't care if there's long pauses. I think it's important that we approach this very, very skillfully. 1 John 4:16 from, let's look at the Passion Translation. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. God is love, exclamation point. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. Wow. Wow. And what's the nature of this love? What's the nature of love? Stuart, I think, talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, don't we find that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13?
1 Corinthians 13.
What love is.
Talks about what love is. Let's read it.
Starts in verse 4. This is going to be from the Passion. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, excuse me, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up.
Cool. So that's 4 through 7.
And then love, and then verse 8 says, love never stops loving.
Yeah.
Extends beyond the gift of prophecy, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's land on something here for a minute. Love is a place of shelter, and it never stops believing the best for others. Wow. Now, you can compare that in other translations, but for purposes of today, love never stops believing the best for others. So we know then that God's love, which is the word agape, remember? We talked about that recently. Agape, love. Oh, goodness, I can't even spell today.
Got a bad drink.
Agape is always, always, always other-focused. It's never selfish. God's love is never, look at me, I'm the God of all. It's not, he doesn't brag. He doesn't draw attention to himself. It's always, always, always other focused. So what does that mean? If it's other focused and it never stops believing the best, is this love passive or is it active?
Active.
It's active.
Towards us.
It's active towards, I'm going to say creation to start, Greg, and then I'm going to put beyond that, us specifically. When God creates, he creates out of love. So the entire universe was created out of love, right? Go ahead.
Gary, I want to throw this question. Is love expansive? And I say that because, you know, Jesus always shared, always expressed, always expanded, always took love to and reached out with it. And, you know, I just look at that and it's like that creates a vacuum. When you give out, you create an empty space. But that what fills that? More love.
Interesting thought.
Does it make sense?
It's an interesting question. But I don't know if God ever, ever, ever empties out totally because he doesn't need to.
I don't think he can. I think it generates more.
Yeah, exactly. And here's an answer, one way to look at your question. Is the universe constantly expanding?
Yes.
Yes. That's what science says. The universe is constantly expanding. Therefore, love is constantly expanding. So let's back up then, because it's Stuart's question.
It constantly expands and creates more.
I'm sorry, say that again, Linda.
Love constantly expands to create more.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That's a good revelation too. I like that question and I like that answer.
That makes me question, is the universe expanding so God can express greater love?
It's a good point to ponder. On my journey, as I'm on my journey, God, how big are you?
Yeah.
Greg.
Well, we'll throw a grenade into this line of thought.
I'll bat it right back at you, but go ahead.
Love is not expanding. Our understanding of that love is expanding. It was always there for us to have.
Okay. So Greg's point, Stuart, is love is not expanding. It's our understanding it's expanding. Want to comment on that?
Well, I think that's half truth. I think our understanding is expanding, but I think that God's love is a powerful force. And I think that it just, by almost definition, it has to expand. It has to grow. And you know, if when your heart becomes more loving, it's expanding. It may not be in the God sense that Greg is thinking of, but it certainly would ring true, I believe, in the human sense that the more we are able to love, the more we are able to express love. But we have to get rid of the fear and the doubt and the anger and all the other negative and let love flow and let it grow. But you take a man and a woman who meet each other and they fall in love. Well, now that's the growth of new love. And I think that, you know, you can make the case that I'm going to leave that right there.
Okay.
So,
Carol.
So, here's an example. When a man and a woman, you know, they're married, they decide to have a child. There's so much love for that first child. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And then, okay, second child starts to come around. It's not unusual for the mom to wonder, am I going to be able to love this child? Mm-hmm. It's not unusual to have those doubts. And yet you find out that you have enough love to go around. Mm-hmm. Your awareness of how much love you have expands.
Mm-hmm. And it may be looking at the same point from two sides of the same coin. I mean, in one sense, God is Trinity. The essence of God is Trinity is agape love, unconditional love. Father loves the Son. Father loves the Spirit. Son loves the Father. Son loves the Spirit. Spirit loves the Father. Spirit loves the Son. Can they love each other any more than they do at this moment?
Maybe.
Can they love each other any more than they did before creation?
No.
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 Then they decide love needs an expression, and so they engage in creation. Stuart's point is that love is and correct me if I'm wrong, that love is expanding.
Yeah.
It's getting greater and greater in significance. Greg's point is it's not really getting greater and greater in significance. It's just our understanding and awareness is getting greater and greater.
If
love is greatness.
Go ahead, Linda.
That wasn't actually me. That was my friend, Glenda.
Okay.
Love is within us.
Okay.
It only expands the more that we give it and we use it, the more knowledgeable we become of it. But love is within us because God is within us and God is love.
Let me come at it from this direction. From God's side, all the love that ever exists right now. From our side, the impartation of that changes in terms of our understanding and the intensity of the feelings of it. What do you guys think of that? I'm not giving rights and wrong. I'm just throwing stuff out. And where we're at is where we're at, okay?
Okay, let me throw this. If God's love expands towards us, why would it do that? Is it because we've done something right? Have we earned his greater love?
I don't think that's the point at all. I think the point is his love is there.
Well, that's it.
If he wants to turn the dial up and increase the intensity of it, in the universe, can he do that?
But what does he love you more tomorrow because you did something right today?
No, that's one of the songs today.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no,
his love, his absolute perfect love exists now.
It does. Does my understanding of his absolutely perfect love equate to the understanding of perfect love? Not necessarily. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Stuart's point is, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Stuart, is that you could have an ever-expanding measure of God pouring out his love into the universe. Is that what you're saying, Stuart?
Yeah. But, okay. You know, I think in response to Greg, you know, let me tell you about my next girlfriend. I love her. I've never met her, but I know my love for her will grow because I'm a co-creator.
These are interesting questions. God says we're a co-creator. Can we co-create a different measure of love?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because when a husband and wife come together, because of their love for each other, they're creating another vessel to express love.
Interesting. I had no idea this conversation was going to go this way. I'm kind of excited.
I would say that already existed. It is just our lack of understanding.
Okay.
Of the magnificence of God's love for us.
So you're saying, before I take my first step in my journey,
God knows where you're going.
Well, he not only knows where you're going, but all the love that God has already exists for everybody and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Before I take my first step.
Yeah.
And then what you're saying is, when I take my first step, I begin to get a revelation of that love. And when I take the next step, I get a greater revelation of that love. When I take the next step, I get an even greater revelation.
It's called relationship.
It's called relationship.
And when your relationship grows and gets greater, your understanding of his love grows, and the manifestation of that love through you to other people grow.
So it's a perspective issue, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a perspective issue. And my experience of that love will also grow.
That's why some people seem to move faster in their walk with Christ than others, because some get to a place go, no, he really doesn't love me, or he's not going to do this for me.
Yeah. Well, and it really depends. A lot of the answer to what you're saying is a perspective issue, but it's also it's a understanding of God issue. Does the Father, Son, Holy Spirit existing in Trinitarian form, meaning interrelated, interconnected, interrelationship, who collectively generate the energy of pure unconditional love, have they already created all the love that's ever going to exist, or does it continue to create as it's poured out into the natural realm? Does it regenerate? That's an interesting question that I had not even contemplated.
Put it as a flower. That flower already is created, but as it blooms, it seems to expand. But that was already in that seed. That was already there.
Well, I think how you answer the question impacts part of where your journey is going to go. And I'm not saying I'm going to tell you there's a right or wrong answer. I'm going to tell you, ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to know about his unconditional love. But I will tell you, there is this powerful force of an unconditional love that is constantly pouring out, from a lack of better term, the throne of God. Sometimes in scripture, it's like the river that comes from the underneath the throne of God. There's different metaphors for it. But there's this unconditional love constantly pouring out, and it has to go somewhere. So it's an interesting question, Stuart. I don't know if we're going to resolve the view of it today. But as long as we understand there is this unconditional love that is constantly, constantly out there, constantly bringing life, constantly renewing us as we're walking on our journey, maybe that's as far as we can go today in terms of consensus. But
I think you're right. I think that a lot of it depends on where your journey is and what your focus is. Mm-hmm. You know, you take fine Belgian chocolates. If you never had one, and you love chocolate, you really don't know if you love fine Belgian chocolates. But once you've had one, now you've got a greater love, a greater appreciation. And you can reduce this down to what's the definition of love. And I don't really want to bother with that. But it's certainly, once you've had a handcrafted Belgian chocolate, your love for those grows. Now, whether that's a comes out from it's already there, or is it increased because you've had the ability to enjoy that, is really the fundamental question.
Yeah, and it may be a question for someone who's further down the road on their journey than someone who's just starting out. It may be confusing to someone who's just starting out. So
exactly.
Give me some specific parameters of this love as you're starting your journey, I think, is important.
Right. I like Stuart's Belgian chocolate thing, because it's an example of it's already there, but once you've tasted it, taste and see that I am good.
Yeah.
That's what God is saying. Come on and taste.
Taste the depth of my love.
Yeah. It tastes the perfection of who I am. Not that the Belgian chocolate is the perfection, but
yeah. Well, I don't know, because I don't know if I've had that. I'd have to ask my wife over there if I've ever had Belgian chocolate. I don't know. But so as I'm starting out my journey, again, the starting point is there is a God, and I want to know more about this God. I want to know relationship with this God. And on one of my first early steps is I realized that God is a Trinity. And we know from the past that only a Trinitarian love, or only a Trinitarian God can express unconditional love. Because if I'm God and God alone, and there's just me, myself, and I, I'm looking for you to feed back into me. I'm looking for something back. I'm going to love Daryl, but Daryl's got to give me something back because my love is self-focused. But this unconditional Trinitarian love says, I love Daryl without a hook, without an expectation of response. That's pure love. And that love never stops believing the best in Daryl, even if Daryl's having a bad day, like on that one song. Even if I'm having a bad day, he still loves me. Even if I'm having a good day, he still loves me. Bad and good being defined by human standards, not God. God defines Daryl as good all the time. God looks in the heart of Daryl and says, that's my son.
Even if Daryl's had a bad 5 years.
Even if he's had a bad 5 years, yeah. Even if Daryl were to say, I'm done with this God, I'm walking away. God goes, I still love you. You're still the best in my book. I have your name written on the palm of my hand and you can't erase it. How does that feel?
A million different ways. Everybody takes that differently.
Well,
some take it as control. Some take it as ultimate love.
Well, if it's agape love, it can't be control. It's contrary to the definition.
But to some people, it is control.
But that's a perception problem.
That's what we come back to. It's people's perception on this path that they're taking.
So this journey is about adjusting perceptions and perspectives to ultimate truth. Agreed?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when you take a rabbit trail, sometimes God says, go ahead.
Yeah.
You have that right.
Yeah.
I give you free choice.
Yeah.
But you'll come to a point every once in a while where he'll go, we're going back to the regular trail. And you may not like it. You may not understand it. But his ultimate objection to you is the rebuilding of the relationship with him that you had in the beginning.
All right.
Restoration.
All right. So he's a God of restoration, right? My plan was to stick on who God is as opposed to his relationship with us, but we'll come back to that soon too.
But going back to when we talked about how do we have this confidence?
Yeah.
Is another verse that he gave me a long time ago.
Okay.
Was he is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, he's the author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah, and the depths of him we'll never know for ages and ages to come. He is so deep and so wide and so big. My God is so big.
I'm going to put author/finisher, and I'm going to look that verse up, put into the outline. But let's go back a little bit. Let's take a look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Reading out of the English Standard Version says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So God creates everything, right? Everything you see in the net. Everything that is perceived in the universe is created by God, right? Gosh, we got to flip the board and erase. How about that? Isn't that fun to have all this going on? So God is the creator of all things. What's the energy he creates out of? Love, right? Isn't love the energy of God isn't love full of life, isn't love full of every good and perfect thing. So God creates all things. So in the beginning, God creates. He speaks with Genesis chapter 1 and 2 about creation. He looks at everything and he says what?
It is good.
It's good. And when specifically as to man, it is
very good.
Very good. So God creates. And if the one song said God is the Alpha and the Omega. What's Alpha and Omega?
Beginning
and the end. Beginning of what?
Our perception.
You got to talk out, Linda, or whoever's with you.
It's our perception, the beginning of our perception.
Okay. Does God, as we know right now, have a beginning? No. Does God have an end?
No.
No. So Alpha and Omega has to refer to what then?
Infinite.
I'm sorry, what?
Being infinite.
That's not quite where I'm going. Let's go back to creation.
Yeah, I'm going to say it started with he created light and day, earth, and everything else.
Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. In the Alpha, God creates, right? He creates that which is visible and invisible, right? Also known as, by other things, the cosmos, the universe, heaven, or heavens, depending on your perspective.
Unseen realm.
The unseen realm, the invisible unseen realm. So in the beginning, God creates all things. Whatever that beginning is, whether it's the Big Bang or some other way that science tries to define it, doesn't matter. Something did not exist and now it does. That's the beginning. Alpha, the beginning. And if he's the Omega, the end, what does that suggest then?
Would that be because he created, then there was a fall, and now he's reconciled us back?
Could be.
That makes something like that.
The point is, my point for the moment is, he created something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And I may be a co-creator with him, but I have not yet mastered creating something out of nothing, except in my mind. But if there's a beginning of all things, and he's the Alpha and the Omega, but he personally, the Trinity, has no end, then there must be something coming to an end at some point.
That's when everything is reconciled back to
him. There you go. Now you're on the same wavelength as Muriel. When everything is reconciled,
comes back to unity.
Yeah. Unity.
Didn't he reconcile at the cross?
Come on. Well, these are conversations we should be having.
I mean, didn't it say?
Did he reconcile all things at the cross?
Yes.
Yeah. So has the end already happened?
It's that now, but not yet.
Okay.
Or it's happened, but we just haven't gone on board with it.
See, these are the kinds of questions that we were never allowed to ask.
I know.
In our evangelical circles.
But see, when we talk about it, we talk about a timeline. God does not have a timeline.
God doesn't have a timeline.
He doesn't live in time and space like we do.
But Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, suggest a timeline of some kind.
Our timeline.
That he created that.
Yeah.
He's not ignorant of our timeline.
Right.
The first will be last and the last will be first.
Yeah. Let's take a look at another verse. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're gonna expend some time in scripture for a while.
What verse?
I want to go to Ephesians 3:9.
I love that all this is combining in with scripture. That's awesome. Solid.
So the second half of Ephesians 3:9 says, God who created all things, moving into 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So we see that God created all things. And I'm just going to put here all things. God creates all things. Then go to another verse, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So that's where God created the universe. So part of all things is in the universe, right? God created the universe. God, I cannot spell today. I'm not a universe.
You keep telling yourself you can't do it.
Thank you, hon. Appreciate it. God created the universe, and he sustains it, right? Do you understand that if you're on your journey and you realize there's this powerful being called God, the Trinity, that is the source of all energy in the universe, the creation of all energy, and he sustains it, my next step is he sustains me. Every drop, every breath I draw is him sustaining me. I get up in the morning and I go, it's a great day. Every day I draw a breath is a great day. He sustains me. He sustains you. And he does it by what? The word of his power. That's what it says, right? He sustains us by the word of his power. If he sustains me by the word of his power, that means he must be aware of me.
All the time.
All the time. And I got to tell you, thinking that God is aware of me is a very comforting thought.
Mm-hmm. Not to all. Mm-hmm. Not to all.
It's not to all. I had my days when I never thought God was aware of me. I had days when I thought, God, why did you even create me?
But there's some that still want to hide.
But yeah, but they're on their journey. So if I want to share my journey with them, I need to be able to share, because this is what we're doing, is about what can I share with others, both in our community and outside. And so I get someone who's out there going, God has no clue I exist. I can stop and go, well, wait a minute. He's aware of every breath I take because he provides that for me. And if he does that for me, he does that for you because he's the creator of all.
He's numbered every hair on your head.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's numbered every hair on your head. So part of this package is not saying, well, gee, all these people out here, they're ignorant. Part of this package is, what can I say to them when I encounter them through God's love? What does this do to help me on my walk and then become available to others when they come and ask questions? And they will come and they will ask at some point. I don't care how far they have gone awry and away from God, eventually they will come to the realization. Go to Hebrews 1. This is Jesus Christ talking about in verse 3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is the exact nature of God. When I study the scriptures about Jesus and I come to the realization that he's good, he's loving, he's kind, and his kindness leads to my changing of my mind on things, wow, I can take another step on my journey. Carol.
So the scripture where Jesus was praying to the Father and praying about, you know, Jesus was in God, God was in Jesus, Christ is in us, we're in Christ. I don't have the exact wording there, but that oneness, I mean, of course God knows everything about me. And I think the problem that we have had is that we weren't taught, we weren't made aware that of our oneness from the beginning of our, you know, our early life. We were controlled and manipulated by, oh, if you don't do this, God's going to get you, or you're going to be in trouble, and all that. And we're not, we didn't teach, we weren't taught of our union and our oneness, and that, yeah, of course God knows everything you're doing because of our oneness, our seamless union.
And that's a good point, because even like the people Greg were referencing that are out there and they're, they don't want anything to do with God. A lot of it has been, they've been guiltified, they've been shamed, they've been rejected from inside the church, which is supposed to be the representation of God on the earth today. Problem is, we have so many denominations, we don't know what the real church is, right? But that love of God, you know what 3-in-1 oil is, or WD-40? The unconditional love of God is like 3-in-1 oil or WD-40. You put it on there and somehow it penetrates. How many times have you had something that was locked up and you put some penetrating oil on it or some WD-40 and you were able to loosen it up? That's what the love of God is like. It's like a penetrating oil. I may not be consciously aware of the places in my heart or my soul or my thoughts that are being impacted by this love, because if it's an energy, it has to be able to penetrate. But somewhere along the line, I have an aha moment where this love suddenly creates an aha moment in me. And I go, oh, that's who God is. Oh, he doesn't hate me. Oh, he loves me so much, he's sustaining me, including every breath I take. Oh.
But there's so many denominations or opinionated people who think they're the arbitrator for God, who says, you're on that trail and you're going to hell.
I know. And you know what?
And what you're saying is there's no way back.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying.
I know that, but that's where people get stuck.
Yeah.
They don't think there's a way back.
But the penetrating love of God creates a way back.
There's always a way
back. And on my journey, I'm not going to pay a lot of attention to the naysayers, because I'm on my journey, and my God is good, and my God loves me, and my God wants me to have fun. And my God wants the best for me. And my God thinks I am awesome. So if my God says I'm awesome, I'm not paying attention to the naysayers. I'm not going to listen to them. I am responsible for walking out my revelation of God, not them. So for Greg's point, there's all these naysayers out there that say this is the only way to God. And there's 43,000 of them. And I'm just saying, I'm going to let God be God. And I'm going to be what he tells me I am. So let's start there. This will be the last thought of the day. Linda, who does God say you are?
God says I'm me.
Says you're you. He says you're unique. He says, I love you. He says, I chose you before the foundation of the universe. Be you. Muriel, who does God say you are?
Who does he say I am?
Yes.
Well, I can't really put it into words, but I'm part of him. And he's in me, I'm in him, and our identity has been established since the beginning of the world. So whoever I am, it's pretty wonderful.
Does he think you're good?
Yes.
Does he think you're awesome?
Yes.
Does he think you're the best of the best?
Yes.
What more
doesn't
can I
mean
ask?
We do, but he does. We'll get there.
Yeah. Part of your journey is to get to the point of, I can believe that.
Yep.
Yeah. Carol, who's God say you are?
I'm his beloved.
You're his beloved. John chapter, or John, 3 John 2, 3 John verse 2, the beloved. Really, who does God say you are?
His child.
His child. What's it like to have God as our papa?
Good inheritance that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And an everlasting life with him.
Yeah. And every breath you take, he's mindful of. And he's pouring out energy. He's pouring out love. Now, there may be parts in, or times when my body can't receive some of that because I've eaten too many sugar cookies. But, yeah. Daryl, who does God say you are?
Who's God to me?
You changed the question on me. Mm-hmm. Who does God say you are? Not who is God to you. Who are you to God is the question.
Who am I to God? Gosh, that's tough.
Do me a favor. Ponder that this week. Mm-hmm. And as you get a revelation this week, then let's talk about it again next week, okay? Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Greg. Oh, Stuart. Forgot Stuart. Stuart, who does God
say? Who is God to me? Or wait a minute.
Who does God say you?
God says I'm this. He says, I'm this curious little creature that he created to think outside the box, to make people look at different things from a different perspective, to make them curious, to say, what's that all about?
I love that. That's great, Stuart.
Down to one sentence without extra punctuation.
Now, let's see. Who does God say I am? He says, I am the apple of his eye.
Bingo.
Good.
That's good. Good. Right.
He says, I am one he has created to be worthy to sit with him in heavenly realms.
You are created. You are created worthy to sit with him in heavenly realms.
Yes.
Good. I think that's all good. We're going to stop here today. That's a lot for one day. Here's your assignment. Besides, Daryl has one assignment, but we all have a collective one. I want to spend some beginning of next week summarizing what we talked about today from the perspective of God. Who does God say he is? Okay? I asked you, who does God say you are? Next week, we're going to say, who does God say he is? Because that's a critical component of our walk. Right? I can say who God is all day long, but if my definition doesn't match his definition, what happens when you got when you got one person going this way and one person going this way? Are they ever going to come back together? No. Got to get back on the same page, definitionally. So
you didn't give us your definition.
I'm not going to. Because some people will take that and go, well, that's what I have to believe. No, oh,
okay,
not what you believe. So our assignment is, who does God say he is? That's what we're going to look at. And I want you to come with scripture. I want you to come with writings that you've read. Because this outline that we're putting together is not Terry's outline. It's our community outline. And we can have divergent opinions about things, but we come back to the centrality of who does God say he is as part of our early part of our walk. Now, as we go further down the road on our walk, I would expect that we're going to have different perspectives on certain things. But we need to start from one perspective of who does God say he is. Fair enough? All right, takeaways from today, starting with Linda.
I don't know that I can say it in your words.
Okay, that's fair. You can pass.
I'm sitting here crying because I'm getting a greater revelation that his care and his love, which is basically just love, is greater than I understand. is greater than that at this point.
It's a good place for your next step on your journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm tingling with that one. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Muriel.
I have a sense that unity has been the course that we've been on lately, and that there's a change coming. And the reason why you're doing this is to give us a strong foundation, because as change comes, like you said, not everyone changes at the same time.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be accelerated. So I think you really need to tighten up our bootstraps.
I will tell you that you're reading some of the material in the spirit. You're reading some of the material I have on my podium. So good revelation. Stuart.
I think my takeaway would have to be summed up in God accepts us all where we're at. And we're definitely all on different steps on our journey. And yet we all of our journeys are different, because I don't think God, while in one area he wants clones, he wants us to be Christ-like, not really clones, but yet there's so much depth, width, and breadth to Christ that we all fill a facet of that rather than the exact same thing.
Yes.
And I'm pondering when you were talking about how people try to define our faith and for us, and yet Scripture's quite clear. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. I can't tell you how to live, Terry. Only God can.
Yeah.
But yeah. I might make a suggestion.
Well, and that's part of the fact that you and I have a relationship. I will listen to a suggestion from you. But you also give me the freedom to say, yeah, you can reject that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any suggestions. I'm just joking. But
no, I understand, but that joke is a good point, because in community, we've come to the place where I can say things, you can say things back to me. I'm not going to judge you by what you say to me. I'm hoping you're not going to judge me by what I say to you, because I'm going to give you the same freedom I hope you give me, is to take it back to the Holy Spirit and go, what's up?
Yeah.
Takeaways in the room, starting with Greg. None? Okay. Daryl, any takeaways for today? Besides the question you're going to ponder this week?
Yeah, my son.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, how quick that revelation came.
I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass? That's fine. Carol? Pass? Here's my takeaway. You all are awesome. And I have absolutely enjoyed watching the time fly by in the last hour plus. And you guys got to realize that our recent conversations have far exceeded 1 minute. I mean, 1 hour. And I have more to edit than I ever used to have, and that's okay. And talking to the people who are going to watch later on YouTube or listen on podcast, we want to hear your perspective too. So feel free to email us, livinggracegr@outlook.com. I want to be able to hear what you have to say and share with you the outline at some point. So if you email us, as this outline begins to develop, we'll share it with you as well. So closing out today is, I just think you all are wonderful. I'm honored to call you friends and family. And I think this next few weeks is going to be exciting. And I'm going to challenge you. Greg's going to challenge you. Because Greg, I love Greg because he brings up the other side of the coin sometimes that we don't think about. But that's what we need to do, is think about all kinds of things. So it's a great day. It's going to be a warm one in West Michigan, but the sun is out, and we're just going to go have fun. You may end it now.